you get to chapter 6, he begins to open each one of the seven seals. And chapter 6 tells us about six of those seven seals. And then there was a break from that in chapter 7, which we studied for the last couple of weeks. And when you come to chapter 8, verse number 1, you read about the seventh and final seal. And actually, when this seal is open, there's not really a lot said regarding what happened or what happens when this seal is open, unless you take the remaining verses in that chapter to be the result of that seventh seal being open. And I don't necessarily do that, but I guess that's one way you could look at it. But in chapter 8, verse number 1, it says, "And when he there would be the Lord Jesus, because he was the only one found worthy to open the book and to loose the seven seals, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." So whenever this seventh one is open, for about, it doesn't say exactly, but about the space of half an hour, somewhere around 30 minutes, give or take a few, one way or the other, there is silence. Now, can't tell you why that is the case, but obviously there was something about this seventh seal being opened that caused everyone in heaven to say nothing. There's silence there in heaven. There's a holy hush for about 30 minutes. I did hear one gentleman say that this verse proved there would be no women in heaven. That's not my interpretation, okay? That was another gentleman's interpretation of that. But anyway, from there we go to verse number 2 where it says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God. And to them," to those seven angels, "were given seven trumpets." Now, like I said, you could take this that we're about to study as the result of the seventh seal being opened. I don't know that is what I think about this. But at any rate, right here is where we begin studying about the seven trumpets. We studied about the seven seals. Now we're going to study about the seven trumpets, and eventually we'll study about the seven plagues or the seven vials that will be opened. That will come in later chapters as we continue to study. But notice he says in verse 2, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets, and another angel." So this is an angel in addition to the seven mentioned in verse 2. And already from our study in Revelation chapter 5, also chapter 7, we've seen that there is an innumerable company of angels there in heaven, a great host, 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands we've already read about. So there is a massive host of angels that are there present in heaven. From other passages in the Bible you read, you find that angels can ascend and descend. They can come down from heaven. And there's a whole lot that the Bible says about angels. And angels are very prominent in the book of Revelation. And here you got seven mentioned in verse 2, but then an eighth angel in verse 3. This is an angel in addition to the seven. It says, "Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." Now notice here where this is taking place. This is not taking place on earth, okay? This is taking place in heaven, because it talks at the end of verse 3 about the altar which was before the throne. That's before the throne of God in heaven. And then also when you come to verse number 5 here, it says, "And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth." So he's casting it down from heaven into the earth. So what you're reading in verses 2 through 6 is stuff that takes place in heaven. And from other passages in Revelation, we learn, and also the book of Hebrews, we learn that there is a temple in heaven. There is an altar. There's all these different things that are there in heaven. And so you got a lot of this stuff that you read about going on there at the altar and in the temple that is in heaven. And I believe that's what's going on right here. Verse 3 says, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. A censer is a incense vessel. It is a vessel that contains incense. And incense is something that you burn and it produces a odor. There's a smell that comes from it, and the smell that you get is determined by what type of plant or whatever it is that's being burned, whatever the fragrance of that incense, and it could vary, could be any number of things, but whatever that thing is, it puts off a specific odor, a certain odor. That's what incense is. So you have here a incense vessel that this angel comes with, and he stands at the altar, and the Bible says there was given unto him much incense. This would be incense for his incense vessel, for his censer. And he is to offer this incense with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, look back at chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5. And notice what the Bible says here in verse number 8. Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, it says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Now, I don't profess to understand all of that, but there it is, okay? There's these golden vials that contain the prayers of saints, the Bible says. And look at chapter 6 now, Revelation chapter 6. It says in verse number 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, notice that, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So this is up in heaven, okay? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. But notice in verse number 9, you have an altar there, okay? So you got an altar there in heaven. You have these prayers of saints, this incense, and all of this stuff brought together to be offered up before the Lord there on the altar that is in heaven. All of this stuff going on. Now look back at chapter 8. Chapter 8 again. And notice in verse 3 it says, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now the question I have that I'm not sure about, when it says of all saints, does that mean of all saints from all ages that have ever been? Like all the way through the Old Testament and the New Testament, all the way through, is that what it means? Or is it a reference to the saints of the tribulation period? Perhaps those that we just read about back in chapter 6, the souls of those who lost their head, who were beheaded, that sort of thing. I'm not sure about that. But you got these prayers of saints with the incense offered before the throne. And it says in verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints, come along with those prayers, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, is that something that's literally going to happen? I don't see why not. I have no reason to believe otherwise. You know, that's what I tell you. You know, the book of Revelation, I read it, and unless I just absolutely know for a fact, just speaking figuratively, I take it literally. And what you have here is this angel taking some coals after he offers up this incense with the prayers of the saints before God. Then he takes these coals from off of the altar, fire, it says, verse 5, and puts it in his censer, and then he throws the whole thing down into the earth. And when that thing hits, wherever it hits, you got voices. What would the voices be saying? What's that? It could be the voices of people on the earth that are in some way affected by this thing being thrown down there on them. Could be that. Thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. All that's going to happen on the earth when this vessel is thrown down here. Sir, it's bad. It's going to get worse. So, verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So it looks like all of this stuff here in verses 2 to 5 just kind of builds up to these trumpets that are fixing to be blasted by the angels, because they're preparing themselves, getting ready to sound. And you got seven trumpets here that are going to be sounded. And each time that a trumpet is sounded, something happens. Just like every time a seal was opened, something happened. Now every time a trumpet sounds, something is going to happen. And the vast majority of it, basically all of it, is going to be bad. Bad stuff is going to happen on this earth when these trumpets sound. And this passage here, where it talks about these seven trumpets, is what causes certain people to teach that the church is going to go through the tribulation period. Now, I don't know how aware you are of the different things that are taught about the second coming of Christ and the millennium and the tribulation and all that sort of stuff, but there's a lot of different views and opinions and ideas about when Christ is going to come back. Some people say he's going to come back before the tribulation. Some people say he's going to come back in the middle of the tribulation, what they call a mid-tribulation rapture. You got pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, and post-tribulation. Some people say he's not going to come back to the very end of the tribulation. You got premillennial, then you got postmillennial, and then you got amillennial. All of those have to do with when Christ comes back and when the millennium starts and all that sort of stuff. There's a lot of different Bible teachers that believe different things about that. And this thing here about the seven trumpets, they used that with something that Paul says in another place, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which I want you to turn there, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And they used this to teach that the church is going through the tribulation. And I'm going to show you why they say that. First Corinthians chapter 15. When we read these verses this past Sunday during the message, but I want you to look at it again here, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Verse 52. Paul says, well, we'll look at verse 51 just to kind of get the context. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not going to all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, that's the big argument that they use, the one main verse they use to teach that the church is going through the tribulation and that the rapture is going to happen at the end of the tribulation. Because they say, Paul says, at the last trump, there's seven trumpets. So when that seventh trumpet sounds and all that stuff that happens with the seventh trumpet takes place, then the Lord shows up, there's the rapture, and then begins the millennium. Now that's what they teach. Is that what y'all believe? That's right. Yes. That's right. And I'm going to show you why that's faulty, okay? I don't believe that at all. I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. I believe the church is going out before the wrath of God falls on this earth. The Bible says the Lord has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not looking for wrath, okay? And I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the Lord Jesus Christ to show up and take me out before all this wrath falls. But look at what he says here. Now pay careful attention to it. It's a matter of wording, see? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, it does not say at the last trumpet, does it? It says the last trump. Now, do you know what a trump is? Not talking about cards, okay? Do you know what a trump is? A trump is a sound made by a trumpet. A trump is not a trumpet. A trump is when the trumpet goes off, it makes a trump. That's what it is. So what he says is at the last trump, not the last trumpet, but at the last trump. And then notice he says, for the trumpet, a specific trumpet, is going to be sounded. And when the last trump is given from that trumpet, then that's what this is going to happen. This is when it's going to happen. Now, did y'all understand that? Understand it? All right, go to 1 Thessalonians just a moment. Paul didn't say the last trumpet. He said the last trump. He said the trumpet. There is a particular trumpet that's going to sound at the rapture. And there's going to be a trump. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it's a passage about, well, we use it to teach about the rapture a lot. Verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. With the trump of God. Not a trumpet, a trump, okay? So this trumpet is going to be sounding, and there's going to be a final trump at some point, a final blast made by that trumpet. And it's called the trump of God because it's the Lord, it's the Lord's trumpet, okay, that's making this trump. And with the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord there, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So, I showed you all that just so you'd understand. I don't know if you've ever had to deal with it, but I've had to deal with it a lot. People that believe this business about the church going at least halfway through the tribulation, some people believe they're going all the way through the tribulation. Some folks like to argue about it. But Paul doesn't say the last trumpet, okay? He says the last trump. There's going to be a final trump when that trumpet goes off, and then that's when we're going to go up. So Revelation chapter 8 now. Revelation chapter 8. You have these trumpets that are going to be sounded by these different angels. And the first one we read about is in verse number 7. Revelation chapter 8, verse number 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. So when the first trumpet goes off, there's going to be hail that is rained upon the earth, and fire mingled with blood rained upon the earth, because it says they were cast upon the earth. And when this happens, a third part of the trees that are on this earth are going to be burnt up. And all of the green grass in that area where that third of the trees is burnt up is going to be burnt up as well. It's going to be destroyed. That's the first trumpet. The second one, verse number 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Not all of it, but a third part of it became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. Now, if you go back to the book of Exodus and study some of those plagues that God put on Egypt whenever he was delivering his people from that bondage, a lot of this stuff is very similar. Some of these same type deals happened there, like the changing of the water to blood. If you remember, that was one of the plagues, and it caused the fish in the river there to die, and they just stunk up the whole place. You know how it is when you smell dead fish, rotting fish. It's just a horrible stench. Well, you need to think about some of this stuff. It may not specify it in the text, but you think about it now. If a third part of the ocean becomes blood, and all of the fish and animals that are in that third part die, can you imagine what that's going to smell like? Now, it doesn't say right here in the text, and the whole place stunk, but it doesn't take too big of an imagination to realize that if a third part of the animals in that ocean die, they're going to be a bad stink around here somewhere. I'm talking about show enough stinking. Bad. But now here's a question. Verse number 8. It says, and the second angel sounded, and as it were, it doesn't say it was a great mountain. And that's, when the Bible speaks like that, then you can look at it. Maybe John is describing something the best way that he knew how to describe it. Because he doesn't say that it was a great mountain burning with fire, right? He says, as it were. In other words, when John saw it, that's what it looked like to him. And that was how he knew to describe this thing. Whatever this thing was that fell from heaven and landed in the ocean and turned a third part of it to blood and killed all those animals, when John saw that, it looked like a great big mountain burning with fire. So this situation where it may not have been a big mountain, that's just the way John knew to describe it. That's what it looked like. What could that be if it wasn't a big mountain falling into the sea? What could that be? Who said that? You say that? It could be. I'm not saying it is. It could be a huge meteor. That's what it could be. That's right. Could be. Sure could. It could be, I guess, any number of different things. But whatever it is going to come and fall into the ocean. And the third part of the ocean, or the sea, it says, is going to become blood. And the creatures that are there in that area are going to all die. And that's understandable, okay? The water's not water anymore. The water's blood. And those fish are not going to be able to live in that. So they're going to die. And it says, verse 9, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Whatever ships are in that area where that thing lands are going to be destroyed. So when it hits, it's going to, as you get to thinking about it now, we think of a third, well, that ain't all that much. a third part of the sea. That's a pretty big chunk of water right there, okay? So this obviously is going to be something big enough that it's going to cause some big time waves and going to be some serious fallout from that. He's not looking up and seeing something the size of a basketball fall into the water, okay? He's seeing something massive. Yes, sir. Wow. A 20-foot rock. Mm-hmm. And that's just a 20-foot. So you consider that the Lord dropped something pretty big in that water, it's going to do some serious damage. There's going to be an effect of that. Some of them tsunamis that you see on TV, going to probably make them look pretty insignificant. I mean, it's going to be a big deal. It's going to destroy any ships in that area of the water, that third part of the sea. They're all gone. It's going to destroy every bit of them. And these ships, see, and here's another thing. It's easy to just read that and see the third part of the ships were destroyed and just think, well, the boats got wiped out. But what else would happen if a third part of the ships are destroyed? People are going to die. I'm going to say somebody driving them boats, okay? Yes, sir. Yes. That's right. I do. And I don't... You know, I'm not sure if it's all taking place just in one particular area of the world or if it's, like you say, a third over here, a third over there. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that's going. Yeah. A third part of the earth somewhere. Yeah. Well, we're going to read more as we go on through this. You know, it's gonna spread beyond just that third part to eventually to where the whole place is affected by it, you know. But it could be happening in different places or it could be all in the same general area where this stuff is happening. Anyway, verse number 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. So we know what this is, okay? This is a star. It doesn't say there fell as it were a great star like it did in the previous verse. He says this is a star. So this is a great, and it's not a small one, it's a great star. And, you know, I'm not big in astrology and all that kind of jazz, but I do understand that there are stars out there that I think one star could hit the earth and destroy the whole place. You know, there's some massive stars out there in the solar system somewhere. This one is a big one. It says a great star, and it fell from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. Now see that? As it were a lamp. It wasn't a lamp, it was a star, but it was burning as it were a lamp. It's on fire, and he's saying, when I looked at that star and saw it on fire, the thing that come to my mind was a lamp, as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Now this, the other was in the sea, okay? So a third part of the rivers of the world, this thing's going to fall on them. And not just the rivers, but fountains of water, which would be anything like, say, a spring, creeks, anything like that where you got water coming. It falls upon a third of them. In verse 11, it says, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. The word wormwood means bitter, is what it means. And the Bible explains that because it says, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. So this great star falls and it hits the third part of the rivers and the fountains of waters, and it turns the water bitter. And obviously there is such a bitterness that the people die from it who drink this water, who take it in. In fact, it says in verse number 11 that many men died from it. Not just a few, but many died from it. So they're drinking it, they're dying. Now, I remember it's been some years ago. I was studying one time, and I forget now where I read the information, but there was some information about how in outer space now, or at least at that particular time, there was a satellite up there. Anybody else heard this? There is a satellite up there right now, a big satellite. The name of it is Wormwood. Anybody ever heard that before? You heard that? I can't remember now where I read that, but I read it, and the people, it was in a something Christian, they were talking about this, and what they said is, what John saw was that huge satellite coming down on fire and hitting the waters, what they said. I don't believe that, okay? I'm just telling you that's what some people say. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure about that. I hadn't heard that, but I just take it at face value, verse 10, that it's a star, okay? Not a satellite, but a star when it comes down. And it's got something about it that's going to turn the water bitter, and the people that drink it are going to die. And then you get to verse 12 and 13. This is the fourth trumpet. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. So sun, moon, stars, a third of each one is darkened, to where they don't give the normal light that they would give. Obviously less light. So there's not going to be as much light during the day, and there's not going to be as much light during the night as well. Now, at night, you say, what light? Well, the moon does put off some light. It's not its own light. It's a reflection from the sun. But naturally, if a third part of the sun is darkened, then a third part of the moon is going to be affected, and it's not going to be able to shine as much light as it normally would either. And a third part of the stars, of either all the stars or a third of each star, is going to be darkened to where they don't give off the normal light they would give off. So there's going to be more darkness. Now, look back, if you would, before we read that last verse at the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21, look at verse number 25. And Luke 21 has to do with the things during the tribulation that are going to take place before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the rapture, but the second coming of Christ to this earth. Verse 25, Jesus says, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars." Part of that may be what you just read, because all three are mentioned by the Lord, the sun, moon, and the stars. And John says all three of them are going to be affected. a third part of them are going to be darkened. That could be some of the signs Jesus is referring to in verse 25. And upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them. Could it be possible that the seas and the waves are roaring because of that big thing that falls into the sea? Could it be that? Men's hearts failing them for fear. That is people literally dying of a heart attack. They're so scared is what that is. Dropping dead of a heart attack is what that is. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Those powers above you up there in the solar system. Notice, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now go back to Revelation chapter 8. Notice the last verse here, verse 13. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven. There's another angel. He's flying through the midst of heaven. That's not necessarily the heaven where God is. It could be, but it could be the heaven like up here that you see above you. Because he says, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's to the people down here. By reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. So you have four that go off and all this bad stuff happens. And then this angel comes flying along here. And he says, this is my translation. You ain't seen nothing yet. Basically. He says, woe, 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 because of them. And he gives three woes because there's three trumpets left. A woe for each trumpet that's going to be sounded. And he says, woe to the inhabitants of earth. In other words, these people that live down here, they got a lot more coming whenever those three trumpets go off. So you don't want to be a inhabitor of the earth when this stuff is happening. You know what I mean? You want to be in heaven with the Lord, not down here having to deal with all this mess, okay? Now, how you get to heaven to be with the Lord? You got to get saved. That's how you get there. Any questions about what we looked at in this chapter tonight? All right, well, I appreciate y'all being here. Next time we start studying, we're going to be in chapter 9, obviously, and we're going to start studying.